We're going to begin here in John chapter 4 today on our Bible characters. And I got a lot of characters today, so I had to label this characters at the well. If you're familiar with the story of the woman at the well, she's not the only one there. And so this is a tremendous one. If you'll turn to John chapter 4, we'll begin in verse number 1, John chapter 4, as we lay out here what I want to glean out of here and get across to you guys today in John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. You see, in chapter 3, there was already a dispute of John and all that. And he decided, verse number 3, to leave Judea and depart unto Galilee. Judea, you got the long, thin Galilee, Judea down at the bottom, and Samaria in the middle, and Galilee at the top. That's the way the country was lined up. And so he decided that he was going to depart unto Galilee. He was going to go up to Galilee. This is very interesting. You're going to see here. In verse number 4, I love verse number 4. Verse number 4 says that he must have needs to go through Samaria. Now that's an interesting verse. And don't overlook the little words. I told you all this. He must needs to go through Samaria. This was not favorable for him to go through Samaria as a Jew, because the Samaritans in the middle part, you've got Judea down at the bottom, Samaria and Galilee at the top, and he was from Galilee. They didn't want to ever walk through Samaria. The Samaritans were mixed breeds. They looked down on them. They didn't even want to talk to them, much less be in the same country with them. So there was three routes that you could go. You could take the route up the west coast of there, up by the sea, and go around and get up into Galilee. That way you don't have to really go through Samaria except along the coast there. Or you could go over to the right, and if you go through, it's called a country called Perea, and if you look at a map, it's a very mountainous area. And so if you choose to get from Judea up to Galilee and go through Perea, I mean, you're really taking the hard route. Not only is it long, you're taking the hard route. You got to go through the mountains. Or number 3, you could walk right through Samaria. That's not what the Jews wanted to do. They did not want to do that. So it says he must needs to go through Samaria. And I like this verse because what it says here, he had a reason to go through Samaria. He must needs. I have a need to go through Samaria. And then he cometh into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, and thus on the well, it was about the sixth hour. It was about 12 noon, And it says in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. A woman of Samaria to draw water. And as he's standing there by the well, she comes up. And so what we have here is we have this woman at the well. And it's John chapter 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus spoke to her. Ooh, he's already breaking taboo. He says to her, "Give me to drink." This woman was obviously a kind of a desolate woman. I think she was probably very common. It was something for her that you're going to see when we get down in her persona, where her background is, while she's coming out there when no one would come out at the well in noontime. She was going there. But she had a history. She had a reputation. In the preceding chapter, John chapter 3, is the story of Nicodemus. He was a rich young ruler, you know. Well, she wasn't, and she was in their eyes low class. But Jesus asked a favor of her, and she really struggled with him talking to her, because she was a Samaritan woman, and you didn't speak to Samaritan woman, especially these men. It was high noon, and his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. You see verse number 8? For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now let me just stop here. I always like to look at little words here and always try to visualize the scripture. And so these guys, they must needs to go through Samaria. Jesus got his disciples, come on, let's go. We're going through Samaria. I imagine every one of them probably went, oh no, we're going through Samaria? They didn't contest him on it, because, I mean, it's Jesus. They didn't contest him, but they came up with an excuse not to go there. You see what the excuse is? For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy food, It seems like the disciples were always preoccupied with food. I don't want to go over the stories about that, but it seemed like every time he got the disciples with him, they were worried about food. You remember when he was out there praying and ministering to people, and one of the disciples came up to him and said, Master, there's 5,000 people here. It's now time. What were they talking about? It's now time. Time to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. They were worried about food. Always, constantly worried about food. We'll get to this in a minute later on. But they were worried about the food. And so they had gone away. They weren't even there. The fact that they were buying the Samaritans' food also reveals Jesus' total rejection of this Jewish prejudice they had. Now they're going to buy the food, but they'll do anything to get something to eat. And verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it thou, you being a Jew, askest the drink of me, a Samaritan, which I am a, watch this now, which I am a, not only I'm a Samaritan, I'm a woman. I'm a woman from Samaria, and you're asking me for a drink? You're going to drink out of my same ladle? I mean, it was bad. For the Jews had no dealings, your Bible says it. For the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans, verse number 9. And so what we've got here is we got at the well, we've got the woman, and the first thing is this woman felt unworthy. In counseling, if you she felt her whole life was rejection. When you begin to find out about her life, it has not been well. She had not done well. She had made some bad decisions. And here she is with this man at the well. At the well. And, oh my. So, Ralph, come here. I need you.
Where's Ralph?
The young one.
Oh, no. No, Ralph can't. That other Ralph can't move. He's a statue.
He asked me when we moved into this room to help him out.
Okay, we got to plug it. We got to plug it in here.
Yeah. That's all it was. It was nothing like that.
Now, if it was something spiritual, he'd have jumped up. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. I love Ralph Hoding. Here she was. She just felt so unworthy with Jesus in the midst at high noon at the well, at Jacob's well, and he's asking her to drink. And so twice she really refused his request. And she said herself here, "Why do you ask me? I'm a woman of Samaria." She was also knew what the discourse was for coming. And when you look at this deal, not only did she feel unworthy, but she felt lonely out there. She's out there by herself. And you think, well, where's her family? Where's her kids? Where's her husband? You're going to find out in a minute. She felt lonely out there, going out to the well at high noon. And so here Jesus is standing there at the well. And so Jesus answered unto her, if you knewest the gift of God, which is saith to you, give me a drink, then you would have asked of him, and he would have given you the living water. So he appeals to her curiosity, and all of a sudden the woman said to her, if you're reading along here, sir, thou hast nothing to do with, and the well is deep, and from where can I draw the what's this living water? I don't understand here. The reason why is because in verses 17 and 18, she was confused. In verse 17 and 18, she didn't understand this living water. The woman answered, and he kept asking her questions, and she couldn't answer them. In verse number 16, look at verse number 16. He said unto her, go call your husband and come here. Well, this is a master stroke. Although the water was available for all, There's a condition to be met. There must be thirst. There must be a need. She must therefore recognize that this water that he's talking about is for those that need a Savior. That she's got to recognize she's a sinner. But our Lord says to her, go call your husband. That was a touchy subject. So she got flippant again. And the woman answered, In verse number 17 and 18, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, he didn't say to her, oh, you've never been married? No, he said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and whom thou now hast living with is not your husband. And in that saith thou truly. And so she is so confused here. She's so confused with life. She's so confused with what's going on. Five husbands, you know, I can't imagine that. Now, I can't imagine five wives. There was a real need in this woman's life that wasn't being met and everything. So Jesus knew this. So it said that he perceived. In other words, I've told you all this. He has the ability to look into your heart. And so the woman says to him, the next verse, it says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. How did you know that? Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Verses 19 and 20. Now, it's starting to make a little a religious argument here. The Lord did not avoid or sidestep the issue of her personal sin that caused her to have these five husbands. I believe that if you really had honest questions or doubt, the Lord would reveal this solution to this woman here. So in verse number 21 and 22, Jesus says to her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh where you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That the salvation is for the Jews. And you're so confused about this whole deal about the Yahweh and God and salvation. And so he began to see in verse number 21 and 22 that she was wrong about sin. She thought because of her sin in her life that she was doomed. There was no hope here. That she was doomed. And Jesus said, but the hour cometh now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He says to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. She had no concept here about her sin, much less the forgiveness of sin. And then in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah comes. She's heard that. I know the Messiah coming, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he will tell us all things. She, in her comments to him, she also felt hopeless about the future. She had had five husbands. She'd been rejected by society because she was an outcast in her own mind, an outcast. And she had no hope for the future. And here he is talking about salvation in heaven. Even the Samaritans were looking for the Messiah to come. There's something very interesting. Today, the second coming of Jesus Christ is believed and loved by those that know him, us. But those who are not really his, they still have this nagging feeling that may be true, that he would be coming again. And I read about an atheist this last week that the thing that disturbed him most about the Bible, although he's declared atheist, that is, it might be true. And Jesus might come again. And if he did, this man realized that he was going to be in trouble, but not enough to cause him to change. And so we have the woman at the well here, and all this emotions that she's going through, and Jesus is fixing to touch her life and to bring her new life to her at the well. And he spoke to this woman, even though she was a Samaritan, and the good Samaritan met the giver of life at the well. The second characters at the well is Jesus. He's there. This is a masterful thing to what we're fixing to read here. He was the best at evangelism. He was a best. He had a concept of evangelism that is right here in the scripture here. And verse number, go back a little bit, verse number 4, you're going to see that he contacted people socially. He encountered a woman at the well. He didn't ignore the woman at the well. He encountered her because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to encounter people. Now, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I've been in this neighborhood for a long time, over 50 years. And I get some people in our church that have been here for a long time. They get a little confused about what our role is as a believer and what my role is. And as student minister here for years, I would go places a lot of them wouldn't go to. I'd go to some places. I'd go over to campus at Dobie, and I'm not telling names because there's some ex-Dobieites in here, but I'd go over to campus, and at lunchtime I would hear that on Friday night, because back then that's when all this happened, on Friday night there was going to be a party. And they, not knowing the Lord, but they knew me and they liked me. You know, it's kind of like this. I'm not Jesus, but it's kind of, it reminds me of this. They were telling me about their party. And it was a party because it was somebody's birthday. If I told you the name, you know, it is their birthday. And they said, "Hey, Henry, won't you come over to the house tonight?" Well, you know, a lot of them, because, you know, they think you wear your collar on backwards. They never thought I would, but I did. I went by and picked up Pete Smith about 9 o'clock that night. And I said, "Pete, come on, go with me." And he said, "Where are we going?" I said, "It don't matter. Come on, go with me." And we went over to the house over there on such and such street. We went over to the house over there. We pulled up in front of the house, and there are cars everywhere. That's what happens when you have teenage parties. There are cars everywhere. There are cars everywhere. So we're getting out of the car, and we're walking on the street, and we're walking up the driveway, and there's somebody that's always a lookout. And so there was a window there, and they had the old Venetian blinds, you know, the big one, and they were closed. And this guy was, I could see his eyeballs, man. And he, and his eyes went. I just walked on in the door. I walked in the living room. There are teenagers everywhere. I knew most of the kids over at Dover. They didn't go to our church, but I knew them all. You know, I was friends with them. And they're all around there, and they're having a birthday party, drinking their Bud Burgers. Not too fast for some of y'all. Yeah. They're going down. And I start seeing some of our students from Sagemont Church. They're at the birthday party. And so they were shocked to see me there. They were speechless. And they were trying to hide those Bud Burgers. So I asked them, I said, "Hey, where's Kirk at?" He said, "He's back here in the den." "Hey, Kirk, Emory's here." Man, word's getting around out. I go back in the den, and they're all back there. They thought it was so normal for me to be there. It was my Christian kids that were uncomfortable. And so there's Kirk. I said, "Hey, Kirk." "Hey," he said, "I can't believe you came by." I said, "Yeah, I just want to come and wish you happy birthday." And I hugged him. And then I turned around and was going to leave. I said, "See y'all later." I looked at one kid from our church, and a kid, teenager. I looked at him and I said, "See you later." And I walked on out of there. But there were some people really at our church that thought I had no business going over there where that type of behavior was going on. But where am I supposed to go? You know? And so I was invited to come, and I went. And I didn't stay away. And you got to go where they are. I had people even on this church staff years ago, some secretaries here. I never was in my office. "Where's Emory?" My secretary said, "Well, he's over to school, or he's over there. "Doesn't he ever stay in the office?" "No." I didn't think, they're not lined up in my office to get saved, taking a number like Baskin and Robbins. So you have to go where they are. Jesus had to go where they were. The woman at the well, he was going to contact somebody socially. He's got to go where they're going to be. The second thing he did, he began to establish this common interest. He was good at conversations and asking questions about where they worship and all this. In verse number 7, he established a common interest with her. And then verse number 10, he began to arouse the interest. He had this ability to cause people to ask questions. You know, you don't answer their questions with a boatload of information. You don't give them everything. You see, some plant and some water and some harvest. But in verse number 10, he began to arouse her interest. In verse number 12, his tactic is so wonderful. He didn't go too far. You know, like I said, don't give away the mother load on this deal. And so he didn't go too far in talking to her. And then verse number 20 is wonderful. Because she tried to, not that she was doing it on purpose, but she tried to change the subject. And he wanted to make sure we stick to the main issue here in verse number 20. By reaching out to the Samaritans, Jesus showed that his mission was the entire earth, not just the Jews. And so, ironically, what he did here is he encountered her. He knew what he wanted to do. He had a plan in mind. This is the saddest part of this story. The saddest part of this story, and I know I always get on these guys' case, but Number three, they weren't there. They were not there. It's the disciples were not at the well. This is very interesting what happens here. They're not there. The greatest thing that happened in this woman's life, encountering Jesus Christ, getting her past forgiven and healed, and having value now, the disciples were not at the well. Listen to me. They missed the revival. They're not there. And the reason why they were not there is the disciples were preoccupied. They were preoccupied. They had gone into town to get what? They were not starving to death, folks. That phrase, starving to death. They're not starving to death, but they had to go into town. And we miss a whole lot because sometimes we're preoccupied. We don't stay focused on a mission here. And maybe they weren't aware of his missions. But Jesus said we must needs to go through Samaria. They should have stayed right there with him and should not have left. But that they were preoccupied. Number two, the disciples were prejudiced. They didn't mix with the Samaritans, much less a woman in Samaria. So verse number 27, along with their hunger pains, they had prejudice pains. They didn't want to talk to this woman. They marveled that he talked with a woman, and no one asked why. And so they were prejudiced against the Samaritan and the Samaritan woman. The third reason why they missed it is they were wanted physical food. That's verses 31 through 32. Verses 31 through 32, fourth chapter. This is so funny. I know. I laugh at funny things. So she's already in town telling people, come see this man which told me all the things about me. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. In the meanwhile, here we go, verse 31. In the meanwhile, while his disciples asked him, prayed him, saying, here, Master, eat. They come back, get the picture. They come back and Jesus is standing at the well. He's trying to tell them what they just missed. Guys, you just missed it. This woman came to the well to draw water. And as I shared with her, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, me, as her personal Savior. And here's what they said to him. Here, Master, have something to eat. That was their response to it. It wasn't, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Someone got saved. Master, here, have something to eat. Here, Master, have something to eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you don't even know about. You goobers missed it. You goobers missed it. They were more concerned about physical food. Fourth reason why they missed the revival is they were procrastinators. Verse 35. You know, we always intend to witness. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already until for harvest. You're going to keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and people's salvation is dependent upon you responding properly. They were procrastinators. We have 4 months, and we have time. We don't have to do it now. They were not the only ones that put off important things until tomorrow. And the fifth thing, is the disciples had no concept of evangelism. They didn't understand, I have must needs to go through Samaria, verses 37, 38. They missed it, but also they missed a real learning point, verses 37 and 38. And herein is what is saying true, verse 37, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that which unbestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their laborers. And so they missed it. They missed it. Here's what I really believe is wonderful. Look at John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of who? The woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritan were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with their 2 days. And look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. We know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. There was a great revival there, and that woman was there, Jesus was there, and the disciples were not there. They missed the revival, and they all had their issues. The woman had her issues. Jesus had his issues.
of wanting to evangelize with his plan, and he did it. He has a great way of doing it that we could learn from it. But those disciples missed a great, great revival because of their own making. They were preoccupied. They were prejudiced. They were more concerned about eating meat, and they procrastinated. But also, they had no concept of evangelism. They did not understand. They did not understand what was right in the midst of them. The at the well story is very interesting because of the woman, because of Jesus, because of the disciples. You know, it took a long while for the disciples to wake up to what was going on. It took them a long time. They were even confused when Jesus died on the cross, which we were probably going to get to. But they were chosen to represent him to a lost and dying world. And here there was a great learning opportunity at the well, and they missed it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us.